Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from Jesus Christ, our Lord. What's it like waiting for Christmas? What do you think, kids? Are there toys and presents starting to fill up underneath the Christmas tree? Are you waiting for that day? Or maybe the older people, are you waiting for that day to gather together to eat those favorite foods? Maybe you're waiting to have a little bit of vacation, a little bit of time, a little time off and to spend with loved ones. Waiting is a hard thing to do, especially when you know something good is coming. But also, it's hard when the things in front of us are kind of tempting. There's this famous example. This was done by a psychologist, Walter Mischel. I don't know if you've heard about this one, where you put a kid in a room, you give him one marshmallow, okay? And you say, if you can not eat that marshmallow until I come back, you'll get a second marshmallow. What do you think? How would you do if you had to wait 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes? Would you eat that marshmallow? Or would you have enough self-control to not eat that marshmallow and be able to get two marshmallows? It's fun to watch the video. We won't watch it all here, but you can look them up. And you see a lot of people, they're playing around with it. And some people just take a little nibble. And I watched one other presentation, and the guy said, this one girl, she ate the middle of it and folded it back up so it looked like she didn't eat any of it. When there is something in front of you, it's hard to wait, isn't it? When there's certain pleasures and certain things in front of us, it's hard. The philosopher, the psychologist who did this experiment, he says it's about self-control. And even as he talks about it, he begins by saying, we struggle with self-control. Why? Well, he says, from the first time Adam and Eve struggled with self-control. That tree of rebellion, there was this tree of good and tree of knowledge of good and evil, and they couldn't control it. They couldn't control being tempted by the devil, and even though they had all this goodness around them, they could not control their temptation. There's a saying that maybe we can help think about this in our lives. Maybe you've seen this sign before. It's an oil company. There's also a band. There's a pastor who had a church here in the area, and he used these two. He used the STP and LTP to help us remember how we struggle with self-control. STP, the first thing is short-term pleasure brings long-term pain. Have you experienced that? That marshmallow, or maybe that bag of chocolate. Think not just of a marshmallow, but if you had that bag of chocolate and you just sit there, oh, I just can eat a little bit more, eat a little bit more. And what happens if you just eat a little bit more, a little bit more? Oh, later, now you got a tummy ache. Right? And you can think about all sorts of things that you have this pleasure. The devil tempts us to have this pleasurable experience that we know we shouldn't do, and even though I get a little bit of pleasure, then it brings a long-term pain. You can flip the idea around, too, to say short-term pain can often bring long-term pleasure. How does that happen? Well, if you work out, then you have that pain of your muscles of having worked out, and that's a good thing for your body. Or maybe sometimes dieting and not eating all of the delicious foods, that short-term pain of not eating it can bring a long-term pleasure. What's true as we look at the tree of life and what is promised to us is that We struggle so much with what is coming because of all the pleasure, all of the things in this life. And we say, God, when are you going to bring that true restoration? And in the midst of all of that, we have all these little pleasures that we can go after. It's hard. And we know that that's what Adam and Eve did, and so that was what we struggle with. But then we have a promise that there is restoration, this tree of life. We see what this will look like. It says, the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees are healing of the nation. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and their servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the lamp of the lamp of the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. All of the pain, all of the darkness is gone. It's gone. God is now the light. We don't need the sun. We don't need a lamp. There is no longer any curse. It's all gone. This is what is awaiting us, the true tree of life and life eternal with our Lord. But that's hard, isn't it? It's hard to wait for that. And we can talk about the small term pleasure and the pain in our lives. But sometimes you can also say, God, why would you allow this pain in my life? You just think about what is ahead, and God, and we just say, God, why can't you just make things right? Why did you let this person die? Why did this cancer come? We struggle with these short-term pains because we don't understand how great it is ahead. And so we can get frustrated with God because we have these pains, but we don't have an idea of how great the restoration will be. That Jesus is going to bring us peace. Notice what it says, that we will have his name on our heads, that we will see his face. I always tell kids, when we're baptized, we know that God is writing his name on us. It's like we're his possession. We are no longer cast off because of our sin, but we are God's children. This is the promise that we have. This is the assurance that we have. And we get to see God face to face. The only way that could happen is if our sin is removed, because our sins separate us from God. And so how does that happen? There's an interesting thing to think about the tree of life. We have a picture. There's two different pictures here. This is from an artist called Full of Eyes. He does a lot of Christian art. But see if you can see in both pictures in the middle, we see a tree, but then one has kind of the water of life that's talked about, and the other one has the leaves which bring life. Do you notice in each of the trees, what is in there, in the middle? Jesus. The tree of life, what gives us true life is Christ. When it says that there will no longer be any curse, it's because Jesus went to the cross. It says that he was made a curse for you and for me, so we do not need to face it anymore. We will be with God because of the work of Christ, of what he has done. He gives us true eternal life. Is that a hard thing to wait for? It is. The temptations and the pleasure that the devil gives us a hard thing to fight off, to avoid that pain that we know that brings, is the short-term pain that we experience of sin and death and all the struggles of living in this world. Is that hard to face when you know what is ahead? The tree of life that gives life to everyone. You can face anything. You can Know that you have been restored and redeemed, and we have this to look forward to. Why? Because of Christ. Because of Christmas. Because our Savior came to live and die for you, and to go to the cross, to take your sins, and to rise again, to know that you will live forever with Him, where there will be light. No more darkness, no more sin, no more pain, but only God and life. This is what the tree of life gives, and what you have in store. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.